This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, after thinking about this a little bit yesterday, and Hastings native and former Hastings College quarterback Dr. Todd Stoll, named the Nebraska Director of Sports Psychology and had worked as a consulting sports psychiatrist for the Huskers, I think I shall look into a psychiatrist for the Doug and Daddy Show, because Jim Langan, you know, yesterday, yep, bush cutter, yep, and of course today's co-host, Bob Jensen. Publisher, editor, owner of Huskerland Prep Report.
I'm surrounded by greatness, dude. Surrounded. I believe, am I reading this correctly? I am surrounded by greatness. That's what it says.
Let me know when you're done. Bob's going to be with us today. It is one of the fun times of the year. We always love talking to Bob, obviously, every week when we're talking about the games of the week and once the season gets going. But in front of me, the 2015 Nebraska High School football preview. And we will be discussing this as much as Bob will let us discuss it. It's available now. We'll let him tell you about that. Our Big Ten Media Days, we will be departing tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. We will be live for extra long shows from Chicago. Randy and I will be there. We'll also have Hale Varsity. Schmitty will be there with his crew from 4 to 6. So you'll have a lot of Big Ten coverage Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow, our Husker Roundtable, Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock. And today we'll look at Iowa with Tom Kakert of Hawkeye Report to see what's going on with the Hawkeyes. It seems like every year there's no team in the league that all of our so-called professionals scratch their head more about than Iowa. Last year, they had the schedule to be 10-0 going into Wisconsin and Nebraska and having a chance. And we knew it going in. It was too easy. And, of course, they screwed it up. And then, of course, the way the loss ended at home against Nebraska was just, you know, negative icing on the cake for them. So we'll talk with Iowa. When they're not supposed to be good, they show up. When they're supposed to be good, they don't. Kirk Ferentz has survived it all. So we'll talk about that. But I said yesterday, Bob, football season is now here for us. We won't be wall to wall, you know, getting until the kickoff in late August. But we go to media days, and the publication is out. That tells me it's here.
Yeah, it's funny. You talked about things looking too easy. That's like me on the second page of the SAT. I thought, you know, this is going my way, and I got a 9.
Right after signing your name.
Yeah, I did. Thank God. I got it mostly right. Yeah, it is. It's in many ways it's football season. I was thinking yesterday. I'm not done yet. I was thinking yesterday that it's 1 month. 1 month from yesterday was the Thursday kickoffs. And so, you know, 4 weeks from today is go time.
Last year we made a big hoopla, and of course it was the 25th anniversary, and about a year ago you had a big celebration because it's more than football. You've got the winter edition, you take care of all, and with the website now there's a variety of girls sports and things that you'll talk about on there, and recruiting and so on and so forth. So after that big landmark, I mean, it wasn't like you were retiring. You were on to year 26. Did you see as much enjoyment putting the magazine together this year as what you were doing last year for the kind of the recap?
Okay, now that's not completely fair because there'll never be anything like that. I'm glad we took care of some business there. Among the many things, it helped me straighten out my archives. We got some, we were talking before we got on there. I love doing research. I got some things sorted out. I talked to some people I hadn't talked to, some of them, in 25 years.
Your wife?
I did not speak to my wife, Doug. I don't know. That's kind of funny you said it like that. But no, that was an awesome event, and that was a landmark. I mean, I remind people all the time, this is my hobby. It's not my job. When it becomes my job, it will no longer be my hobby. But that was awesome. Now, but you go back to reality, and there's a lot of joy to be derived from putting this thing together.
A majority of the show will be talking high school football today with Bob. We'll look at the state baseball and the area baseball, and B and C seniors will wrap up tonight, and their state tournament is this weekend. But before we get into all the top tens and area teams and athletes and all that, as we sit here today, the state of high school football in Nebraska, we've had some changes. Class C went back to the 9 games last year. It seems like Class D will get there. The consolidations, the way it's covered, social media, your not just your magazine, but your website. How do you see football for 2015?
Well, there's a couple different questions in there. One of the things is as far as the coverage, you're part of that. I'm part of that. The coverage that is lavished upon these high school students is pretty much outrageous, because you talk about wall to wall. I mean, these kids are rock stars in many ways. They're internationally known. If that's how it's going to play out, it's a different day. And I could talk a little bit maybe later if you want to about the little feature we've got going about 40 years ago being the first year of the state football players, and there was some real quaintness involved in all of that. As far as the state of the game itself goes, number one, I wish we had more kids out. As far as consolidations, co-ops, people, getting enough people on the roster to compete, there's different ways to do that, and we're seeing more and more of that. There's more to come. The people that are choosing to be involved in sports, whether they're coaches. I talked to one earlier this morning who went on and on about how much he loved being a teacher and a coach. It's hard to be a coach. It's hard to be an official. Everybody's pretty smart. They're pretty willing to help you, that kind of deal, in ways that wasn't necessarily the case a long time ago. But number one, I wish we had more kids out. I tell people all the time, I went to school with Dan Keyser. People of my age know who Dan Keyser is. Dan was known mostly in his adult life for being a 6-time state champion, great man, superintendent at Sutherland. He was a superstar in high school. I was not a superstar in high school. I did make All-City as a senior. You can look that up, okay? It's an Arnold, granted. But I had a wonderful experience playing high school football. And it was more than it was being with my buddies, and that we had a shared experience that will be with us as long as we're with us. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of kids are missing out on that.
You can find out a whole lot more. The Huskerland Preps site, Google it, but it's huskerlandpreps.rivals.com. And you talk about the 40 years for the youngsters out there. We didn't always have playoffs. The state's newspapers at the time would determine, kind of like we had in college football until last year, who the best team was, which was obviously hard to do when some of them not only didn't play each other, but had no chance of seeing each other on opposite ends of the state. And there's been features about some of those teams and who's won it and who was involved. What started the playoffs? How did it happen that 75 was the year that the playoffs started? Very minimal. 8 teams got in, or 4 teams got in. So undefeated teams weren't in. It was still probably a little tough to explain at that time.
One of the earliest seeds, to the best of my knowledge, and this comes from some of my research and also from talking with the great Condi Sargent, the former prep ranker for the World Herald. A guy that was that a lot of people listening know, a man by the name of Rex Jones, who was a member of the NSAA staff for a long time, used to be a football coach out in Gordon. Out in the middle of nowhere, out of Gordon, Nebraska, his football team was undefeated, and if not unscored upon, virtually unscored upon. And I'm not going to remember exactly. I'm thinking they were Class B. they were undefeated, and there was another team that was undefeated back east, and I'm drawing a blank on who that was, but they had no – there was no way they were going to play. And when the papers ranked them, they ranked the Eastern school, and I can't remember who it was. They were certainly worthy first and Gordon second. Well, that was in somewhere around 1970, and like 3 or 4 years later, Rex became part of the NSAA staff, and as this momentum built – that was the story he kept going to and taking to the board saying, you know, this is happening to more than just us. And that is, he kind of turned the tide. And in fact, he was such an influential part of the equation that they actually put him in charge of the playoffs as far as the NSAA was concerned. And from there, you know, here we are now with, you know, this grand stage with all these schools in it. But you're right. Back then, 4 teams in each of 6 classes qualify for state, and that was it.
Wow. Did we have 6 classes?
We did. We had A, B, C1, C2, D, and 8-man.
Yeah, D actually played 11-man.
It did.
There was a D11-man. If you go back in the archives and look at some of that, we have Bob Jensen with us for the whole hour as our co-host and the owner and editor of Huskerland Prep Report. We'll get to this season in a little bit. Last year, we went back to 16 teams in Class C. We had went 32. There was a while there when, and I'm trying, it was basically from the late 80s, early 90s, where we tried about everything. Everybody was in the playoffs. 8 teams were in the playoffs. 16 were in the playoffs. I mean, in about 5 years, we did it all, and it was just not good. And then we were, for about 25 years, we've been setting in that pattern. I know I've had the discussion on air with Stu Pospisil of the World Herald numerous times where he was specifically on one side, I was specifically on the other, and over the years, our arguments kind of came to the middle. I thought 32 was fair, and I realize as there's fewer schools, you got to do something. I hate that it goes from 32 to 16, but that's all you can do. And I don't know that anybody really got left out last year. I like Gordon in the 70s, there were instances where 8-1 teams didn't make the 16-team playoff, which I thought was wrong. That didn't happen last year. But you like what happened last year.
I did. I like the 16-team bracket. I understand the 32-team. And, you know, God, every kid that ever plays high school football at any level should get a play in a playoff game. Because it's more than just a football game. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of teams that get in the playoffs that know they're going to get smoked.
T-shirt,
in that
pep
game.
Rally.
But they got the T-shirt, yeah. They got the pep rally, they got the bus ride, they got the whole thing. And, you know, the cheerleaders and the whole deal. It's a great day for the school. It's a great day for the town / district, what have you. But, let's, you know, 16 teams is competitive, and you got better football. And the other thing is, and I think I've got this right, if you're out for football, I think you want to play games. I think you want to play games. And as a result, you've got everybody got to play 9 games. That was not the case before. You got to play 8. You work all year. You should work all year. John, you should have been working all year. You'd be starting if you would have, but you didn't. And that's why you're in the state you're in. But if you, if you work all year, it'd be nice to play a 9th game. Doesn't matter what your record is, I think. I'm pretty sure. But I do know that at 16, you've got better games, competitive games. And then to my recollection, the one I keep going back to, the only time during the 32-team era where a team made the finals outside of the top 16 was the year that Greeley made it and played Howells, I think, in the D1 finals in the early 2000s, that Williams kid was the receiver. Whoa, he
had some banged-up players and got a late start to the year.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple in there, and I think Aquinas might have been one of them. There was a 500 team that made the semifinals just a couple, 3 years ago that was like a 12 seed in the East-West. So, I mean, they were way down.
But they were within the 16. So, you know, my point being that, to my recollection, and there could be others, but the only one I can remember that would not have qualified last year would have been Greeley in 2000 or whatever.
If you have a question or a comment, you can give us a tweet at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Dent Popper right on the bricks in downtown Kearney, taking care of all the little nicks and bumps and dents that you may have in your vehicle or boat or golf cart. Doesn't matter what it is. They'll get it all fixed up.
I stopped there earlier, and they took a look at me and turned me over to the competition, actually.
And Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Before we go to break, the cover's out. You've got a few guys on the front there. Who's the best player in high school football in the state of Nebraska going into 2015?
For high school purposes, all right? Now, I'm not a recruiting service. I'm barely whatever it is that I am. But if I had to pick one football player, it would be Jaden Kowalski, the quarterback at Bellevue West. Will he be the most impactful college player? Maybe, maybe not. But I do know the kid threw for like 3,000 yards last year. He threw for 599 in one game. He looks the part. He's great in the pocket. And he's in the perfect offense. I mean, there isn't a throwing quarterback in the state that doesn't wish he went to school at Bellevue West. Is that true? Maybe not.
Schools that we're not in. This is the second year of the contract. So if you played at one place last year, we're just flipping. Speaking of that, I need to update the website. If you went there last year, you're having them come, and if we're home, then you're going there this year. So usually that doesn't tend to lend for changes. But I think if recollection, and I don't mean to throw you a curveball, but there are a couple schools consolidations that have changed in the off season.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to necessarily go down that path, but yeah, I'm sure you're right.
It changes a schedule or two.
It does. It does. And you know, I don't know. I like the idea. You know, there's the one thing about it with the state. You know, when the state decided to do the scheduling, that was kind of a goosey deal. You know, what are they going to do to people? The NSA, two things. One of them is district play, which replaced conference play, which broke my heart. There's nothing like conference music, whatever. Mm-hmm. Conference is what matters. There's a lot of drama involved in those last 2 weeks of the season. And the other thing is there's some risk-taking. I mean, all these schools put in for somebody, and some of them take the easy way out, whatever's close, you know, whatever. But there's some people that travel some distance and take some chances, you know, playing up a little bit, that kind of deal. So when you talk about the schedule, those are two things that immediately come to my mind.
And I love it. I love it. I mean, given so they have to go out to the panhandle a couple of times, they probably won't get that thrown at them the next time it comes around. I love that you have that possibility of actually traveling a little bit for one game at least in your season, especially if you're in the western half. In the eastern half of the state, we're still at a point where if they travel an hour, it seems like a long, long way.
Yeah, the Omaha kids could just drive their own car because they ain't leaving town. But it's funny, you talk about the 75 season, or I guess maybe we weren't, but we did at one point. I can tell you that one of the real eye catchers was somehow or another, Grant, who wound up winning C2 that year, scheduled a game with O'Neill St. Mary's, and that game was played on a Saturday afternoon in Cozad. And that was so far outside the norm, I just couldn't help but think that had to be a lot of fun to be at. It turned out to be not nearly as much fun if you were from St. Mary's, but it would have been that just didn't happen. We see some stuff. I mean, we see some teams getting around, and with the lack of C2 teams west of Grand Island, if you're in a C2 district west of Grand Island, you're going to travel.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Right around the corner, we're going to chat with Tom Kakert from Hawkeye Report and take a look at Iowa football. But we're going to break down the top 10 preseason for 2015 with Bob Jensen. And the best team in the state the last couple of years, will they be preseason number one again in Class A? We'll find out as we are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And just got word from the Chrysler store that their corporate got really aggressive with extra incentives. Currently 16 trucks with over $8,000 of manufacturer suggested retail price. And there are a handful that have almost $10,000 in savings as well. So if you're in the mood for a Ram truck, if that is what you are driving around or want to drive around, don't run out of time to get Well, they're just giving away money. Midway takes care with hassle-free all the time, but now the big boys at the dealership and back at the home office say, let's move some more. Let's give these folks a deal as we're midway through the summer. Visit thinkmidway.com to see all of the vehicles in stock and go to Midway, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. We'll be back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Keep calm and Kool-Aid on. The 18th Annual Kool-Aid Days Festival comes to Hastings August 7th, 8th, and 9th. The festival has moved to the campus of Central Community College, but you'll still find all the things you love. You can drink your fill at the world's largest Kool-Aid stand, enjoy musical entertainment all day, see a parade, eat festival food, play games, and drink more Kool-Aid. Visit Hastings, Nebraska, the birthplace of Kool-Aid, August 7th, 8th, and 9th. New location at Central Community College, Hastings campus. Same great weekend of fun for kids of all ages. Check out all the details at KoolAidDays.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, an isolated shower or storm still possible through midday, otherwise partly sunny and breezy conditions, those highs reaching the upper 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy, 57. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now it's 73.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Pleased to have a special guest, Bob Jensen, as our co-host on this Tuesday. Huskerland Prep Report coming out. And, Bob, let's let the folks know how they can get the Prep Report in the magazine throughout the year.
Okay. Well, thank you, Douglas. Something that's important, if you're interested enough to want to get this, order it now. And the reason I say that, it is back. But if we ship the magazine after we mail out our regular subscribers, there's a shipping charge, and we don't want to charge people that. So the number one thing to do is call our toll-free number, which is 800-323-3929. 800-323-3929. We have an operator standing by, and if she can take a cigarette break long enough to get to the phone, she'll be glad to help you out.
And the door shall be locked once again. Folks, it is outstanding, and we're going to get more into it in a moment. And in about 5 minutes, we're going to catch up with Tom Cakert of Hawkeye Report to talk Big Ten football, our final team before Nebraska and the Husker Roundtable tomorrow. Golf, a lot of things going on. I've got a couple things that I want to tell you about, and I'm going to lop them in here all at the same time. This weekend, Kearney Country Club, it is the annual Coors Miller three-man scramble. Contact the Kearney Country Club. If you're going out, if you're a member, great. If you're not a member, doesn't matter. Sometimes you say country club, you think, well, I'm not invited. I can't play. No, that's not the case. It's a two-day tournament this Saturday and Sunday. 1 o'clock on Saturday, 10 o'clock on Sunday. Three-man, three-person scramble. Love to have you be a part of it. So contact the Kearney Country Club. Then, if you want to play your own golf ball, next weekend, we got the granddaddy of them all, the 88th Annual Southwest Open. That's 8th and 9th of August at the Holdridge Country Club. $95 entry fee includes a free practice round on Friday, range ball, a dinner in Calcutta Saturday night. Now, if you need to rent a cart, you can do that for a separate fee that covers both days. You can find out all the information online at HoldridgeCC.com, HoldridgeCC.com, or you can just call them up and say, here's my team, put us in, or put me in, for the Southwest Open on August 8th and 9th, 308-995-5744, 995-5744. It is the annual Southwest Open, August 8th and 9th. At the Holdridge Country Club.
Okay, those sound like two spectacular golf tournaments, two things that I would be proud to be a part of. However, what I was looking for, is there such a thing as a tournament where for an entry fee, I could have someone else play my ball? That's what I'm looking for, Duda. You stumble into one of those.
Where's the joy in that, my friend?
Oh, it isn't a matter of joy. It's a matter of the lack of self-loathing that comes with 5 hours of competitive golf.
It isn't about me hitting my golf ball. It's enjoying time with friends and watching how good they're
getting. It's me buying the two best players I can find and putting them in my group, Doug. That's what it's all about.
I want to, before we get into Iowa and before we get into some of the other things, can we unveil all the top 10? I know you're counting down on the website.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
We teased it before we went to break. Omaha North has had some outstanding players, and Coach Martin has brought home state championships. You do not have them preseason number one in Class A. You got them number two, but you got Millard North at number one. Talk about the top of Class A.
Millard North has large linemen this year. In a shocking turn of events, Millard North has – they've got a veteran line, big, strong, got a three-year starter, quarterback, and Ethan Morrison. Got a big, strong – this Matthew kid that plays fullback for them is an outstanding player. Adrian Kellogg. The kid averaged like 11-something a carry last year and didn't get the ball all that much. He's going to get it a lot more. They're going to be real explosive. They're going to be tough to beat. North isn't going anywhere. They have their program in place. And let's face it, the way things are nowadays, Omaha North is a real attractive place to play football. Coach Martin has developed quite a little network in town. Kids want to come there. Michael Decker, the All-Stater, the Husker, he's not in the North School District. He wanted to go to school there and crossed a district line to go there. It's a good place. They've got this kid, Justin Jemison. Remember that name, Justin Jemison, number 44 on your program. Going to be a superstar this year. The only reason he was a superstar last year, but none of us really noticed because there were other superstars, but I don't know if North's got enough to make it three in a row.
Let's face it, the majority of Class A is east of York, but we've got Grand Island, we've got Kearney. Norfolk has made a little bit of noise. North Platte is trying to get better. You have Grand Island. You have eight metro schools.
Mm-hmm.
No Lincoln schools in your top 10. You've got Grand Island ninth, and you've got Norfolk 10th, and Kearney not in the top 10, which I believe, even from my standpoint, is very understandable. What about teams west of Lincoln?
Or even
Lincoln.
Okay, well, Lincoln football, when we went to six high schools, Lincoln football still hasn't completely recovered. Southeast was a champion. Southwest got to a final since that all went down. But there isn't that great concentration of talent in one school the way there was. And frankly, right now, there's not the depth of talent. Even if you went back to four, it's a cyclical thing. I mean, Nick Lenners, a kid that we featured in Huskerland, is going to Kansas State. I mean, we're not talking this completely devoid of talent. Lincoln's just not what certainly people of my vintage remember Lincoln football being. As far as those other schools, going from the west to the east, North Platte was better last year. They're much more competitive. And this class that they've got that's coming up that's seniors and the bunch that's sophomores, there's a little talent there. And Coach Bernie Madison, who you and I know well, a lot of people listening know well, the guys do a break, okay? And they're going to be better. Carney will be good as long as Steve Cherry is able to tell Brandon Cole what to do. It's like a little, what is that? A little marionette. Yeah, yeah. You know, Steve's got that little Brandon Cole doll that he plays with all the time. You've seen it. Anyway,
I'm waiting for the Brad Archer doll.
I don't think anyone was going to dare to make a Brad Archer doll. Okay, I don't think anybody's going to do that. But Jake Waller's going to step in at quarterback. I know Brandon is really high on him. Noah Urbanek is a guy that they are going to expect an awful lot of in the running game this year. And then Ty Roseberry, and there's not very many times we get to mention Sandhills High School, but Roseberry, are you listening? I'm mentioning Sandhills High School because Ty's dad went there and was a little superstar. But Ty's a good football player, a big boy, and he's going to have a big year. Kearney will be good. They may end up in the top 10 before it's all over. Grand Island, old Tomlin, Coach Tomlin will have him tough and physical and all that because that's just he doesn't know any different. Mm-hmm. Brandon Barnes is a really good linebacker. He's an all-state punter, according to us. You know, the Red Wine kids can play. I'm curious to see how the skill positions come together. They always seem to at Grand Island. Trying to replace Pierce Almond will not be easy. Up north, Norfolk's got a lot of people coming back.
Well, we have all of the top 10 to take a look at, but let's take a break from our high school and Huskerland prep to talk a little Big Ten football.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days, where we'll preview a different team each day, leading you up to the Big Ten Media Days, July 30th and 31st in Chicago. We're headed to the West Division for today's team, the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Iowa, Nebraska, the last game of the year, and we are pleased to have Tom Kakert join us from Hawkeye Report. Doug Duda, Bob Jensen on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Tom, good morning. How are things in Hawkeye Land?
A little rainy today, actually. So, all is well. Headed to Chicago tomorrow for Big Ten Media Day. So, football is underway.
Hopefully we'll get to run into you there. It sounds like it's going to be more of a media circus than it's ever been. It's getting more popular. We mentioned this coming out of the Big 12, 3 days, and it was pretty much a circus there. And when we went to the Big 10, it seemed like there weren't as many people. And now with the addition of Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland, and social and more radio, it just seems like there's more folks. Though. So let's just get this off the top here, Tom. I mentioned it when we started the show today and that Iowa was our team today. When Iowa's supposed to be good, they're not. When they're not supposed to be good, they are. I picked them to win the West last year because I thought, you know what, even Iowa can't screw up this first 10 games of the schedule. They screwed it up again. They had the quarterback controversy. They're the hardest team to figure out for me every year in the conference. What does that do in the homeland? Is it the same way for you guys?
It is, and you're right. It's almost like every year you think they're going to stink, they end up being good, and when you think they're going to be good, they find a way to disappoint. I go back to, like, the 2010 season when I think a lot of people was coming off the Orange Bowl, and that 2010 team was pretty loaded, had Ricky Stanzi back, had a lot of the talent back, and they end up, you know, 7-5 and squeaking into an inside bowl. Just not a very good finish to the year. You look at last year, they're coming off an 8-4 season following that, you know, 4-8 debacle the year before, and seemed like things were going in the right direction, and then they just didn't play well early in the year, and it kind of got, they just lost a lot of close games last year, couldn't find a way to win those tough games, and end up 7-6 and with an embarrassing loss in the Tax Slayer Bowl to Tennessee. So figuring this team out is it's hard to do, and I think most people are down, so that means they'll probably go out and win 10 games, right?
They've done it before, no doubt.
Yeah, Tom, this is Bob Jensen, and I'm going to do some high school stuff back on this side of the river. And really all I want to know about is my boy Drew Ott and the budgeted kid. It kind of makes me really sick to my stomach to watch him wear that black and gold, yet I am very happy for their success. Could you tell us a little bit about what you've seen from those two guys?
Yeah, they're both probably going to start this year. And, Iowa actually has three guys that will probably start on their defensive line this year that played eight-man football in high school. That's really cool. I'm certain there's nobody else in major college football that has that. But Ott's just a character. He's kind of gone from wearing a mullet and a kind of a Duck Dynasty beard. Now he's shaved off everything. He's the leader of that defensive line now with Carl Davis and Louis Trinkstop moving on to the NFL. He's going to be a guy they're going to count on for big plays, and he's going to have to come up big. And Budgeta, I really like him, and I know the coaches have been really enthralled with him for a while. He's not the biggest guy in the world for a defensive tackle, but I call him kind of like a Tasmanian devil down there, just a whirling dervish of motion and firing at people and just getting after it. And the big question for him will be, how's he going to hold up if he has to play 50 snaps a game, and adjusting to that level of work at this level is something all those guys have to go through.
We're talking with Tom Cakert of Hawkeye Report, Iowa, in our 14 teams in 14 days. Cole Fisher is also a senior outside linebacker that hails from the state of Nebraska. Played in all the games last year. Is his role increased, or is he just a backup this year?
Yeah, I think he's going to probably end up being a backup. He'll be on what they call a core special teams guy, which means he's out there on almost all those special teams, kickoff return, punt return, kickoff coverage, punt coverage. He's just a really highly intelligent kid, doesn't make any mistakes, works hard, just has never been able to kind of make that leap from second string to getting on the field on a regular basis. So it would be a surprise if he does start, but if he does, I know the kid's going to do a great job. He's really a solid kid from a solid family.
You know, that Tom, that sounds almost exactly what my coach said about me. Core special teams, could start as a senior. I don't remember him saying much about my family. What's the take from over there about Nebraska? What's it look like from that side of the river, and what we got going with our new staff, et cetera?
I'm really curious. I mean, everything was such a distraction with Bo Pelini there. He won a lot of games and had success, but it always seemed like there was some sort of controversy going on at Nebraska with Bo Pelini around it. And Mike Riley kind of reminds me of Kirk Ferentz in a lot of ways. It's kind of a low-key, steady guy, has a system, has a belief system of what he likes to do, and kind of got that NFL mentality to him in some respects. And they're about the same age. Kirk's going to turn 60 on Saturday, I think. And I think Riley's like 61, 62. So about the same age. So that's how I kind of view him. I'm really curious to see how that talent meshes with the way he coaches. And I don't think you really know how it's going to mesh until you see it on the field. So it's going to be extremely curious to see the Huskers early in the year.
We're talking with Tom Cakert, Hawkeye Report, on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Kirk Ferentz has been around longer than anybody, 16 years there for the Hawkeyes, and there's no need to dive into the questions because we've done that before, and everybody seems to pick on that part. But let's talk a little bit about the team. Offensive line, let's start there. You got to have that to get things going, and there are some holes to fill there. What do we know about the O-line?
Yeah, you're losing two guys who are going to be picking up NFL paychecks, and Brandon Scherff and Andrew Dinell at left and right tackle. And Scherff was the most decorated offensive lineman in the country last year. So you're losing there's some big shoes there to fill, and they're going to try and fill it with a couple of redshirt sophomores and Boone Myers and Ike Bedker. And guys haven't played a lot of snaps. So it's going to be relying on those guards, experienced guys like Austin Blythe at center and Jordan Walsh, another senior at guard, to kind of get things settled down and established. It's going to be interesting to see how that line comes together. But probably the biggest news for Iowa was that they switched quarterbacks and went to C.J. Beathard in January after the bowl game, and Jake Rudock's up in Michigan. So that offensive line is going to have to come together quick because they've got to protect Beathard, because behind him, there's not a lot there, and nobody with any experience.
Well, you mentioned Jake, and yesterday, actually, Michigan was our preview, and we were talking with Mark Snyder of the Detroit Free Press, and we asked him what Harbaugh has in the cupboard there, because depth seemed to be a problem, but he said Michigan's defense was going to be good, but it sounded like his opinion was the offense is still looking like a dumpster fire. They don't know who the quarterback's going to be. He says everybody thinks it's going to be Jake, but if Iowa didn't want him, then what makes you think he can go? Well, what was the story with that young man, and can he help Michigan?
You know, I think in some ways Jake got kind of a raw deal just from the respect that he didn't do poorly. He didn't perform poorly. It wasn't like he was throwing a ton of interceptions and making a lot of critical mistakes. Fans just viewed him as a game manager, and that's probably fair, but Beathard had the big arm, the golden flowing hair, and he's a bit more of a risk taker. And for Ferentz, he's always been more conservative, and then they saw a guy that would take more risks like a Drew Tate did back in the day, and I think they just wanted something different, something that was a little more exciting. You know, people forget Rudock was the quarterback when they won 8 games the previous year. I mean, it wasn't like he was poor. He did a fine job as a first-year starter for a team that was 4-8 the previous year and turned that around. But he got more blame and less credit, I think, than a lot of quarterbacks. And it's unfortunate, but once they made that decision, whoever got the quarterback job, the other guy was leaving. So, and I think the coaches knew that, so they made the decision in January.
Bob brought up the our hometown and our boy here in Drew Ott. So the middle of the defensive line looks good, but the ends and the linebackers, from what I'm scouting here, also could be a work in progress early on for you guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, the linebackers, that was the big drop-off last year and probably their biggest source of issues on the defensive side as the season went along. The previous year, they had 3 guys who were NFL linebackers, James Morris, Anthony Hitchens, and Chris Kirksey. 2 of those guys were NFL draft picks. And Morris is on the got hurt, but he was going to make the New England Patriots, and he's on their roster now. So 3 guys playing in the NFL, and you lose all 3 at once, and you have to sub in basically 3 guys that haven't played much at all in their careers, 2 of them at least, or redshirt freshmen. So they just physically they wore down. Mentally, I don't think they were ready for it, but they just had to play. And they took their lumps. And Jim Reed, the linebackers coach, seems to think they're going to be better. They're going to have to be better because if they're not up to it this year, it's going to be a really long year for that defense, because by the end of the year, they were just worn to the nub and they weren't able to make many plays.
Tom, again, getting back to the schedule here, it's appears a little tougher than last year, although it's not the worst one of some of the teams in the conference. Tough games will be on the road at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, if it's meaningful in the last game of the year. You travel to Iowa State, so when the rivalry game is on the road, even if it's just down the road, that's big. But again, the schedule looks doable for the Hawkeyes. Yeah. What are you seeing out of Iowa?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at you, there's no Ohio State, no Michigan State, no Michigan, no Penn State. I mean, there's just the heavyweights, the supposed heavyweights of that other division are not on your schedule, and that makes it, just by that fact, easier because the West is kind of, you know, it's not a strong division by any means. You got a lot of questions in Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa. Minnesota might be the most foundation program in that division right now. That's what Coach Gill has done. So it's a manageable schedule. All that basically happened was the home and roads got flipped, and they've you know, got Pitt coming to Iowa City this year in a non-conference game. But the Big Ten schedule seems to be, you know, it's the opposite of what it was last year, and that was manageable.
The first game of the year, people probably kind of do you feel that they got to keep their eyes open? It's the FBS defending national runner-up, Illinois State, 11 a.m., the season opener. God forbid if you lose a team, lose a game like that, even though they're really, really good.
Well, you look at what North Dakota State, who they played in that title game and played in a very tight game against North Dakota State, that team, you know, that North Dakota State team's gone, 6 straight years and beaten the FBS team. So there's no doubt that Iowa's going to have eyes wide open. And there's some interesting sidelight stories. One of their linebackers who started last year early and lost his job, Reggie Spearman, is now at Illinois State. And Illinois State's offensive coordinator is a guy named Kurt Beathard, who is C.J. Beathard's uncle.
Yeah.
some good storylines in that game right now.
Well, Tom, we're packing our bags, and we will see you in Chicago in a couple of days. We really appreciate your insight on Iowa with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for the time.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
Bye. Tom Caker, Hawkeye Report for you Hawkeye fans out there, Bob Hamer. Bob, would you rather – well, I know the answer to the question. I'm not going to phrase this right. Nebraska gets BYU, Iowa gets Illinois State. I would way rather play BYU.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I will say this much about the Huskers for 2015, and what I know is very limited.
But whatever.
There's a real sense in my little world that this is going to be the first time in 15 years we're going to be better than people think. I don't know what that means, but there's nothing expected. I got a feeling this guy knows what he's doing. There won't be all that heavy, heavy air over the program. I think they'll be better than expected.
Two things on that. First, the heavy air over the program was put there by the media, and it stoked the fans. I mean, the fans. Then there's the fire. Okay, I still believe that. Of course, I was a Bo guy. I'm not. From day one, I'm not anti-Riley. I will have to repeat this story 50 times. I've already done it. The 5 days we're looking for a coach. Who do you think we'll get? I said, I don't care who we get. He better win. That's what you've done now. You better win. Mike Riley's a good guy. Does that mean he's going to win? Frank Solich was a good guy. You know, we ran him out of town, too. And the other part is hopefully I feel different when we come on to Monday's show. Because I've said it all along, I don't have the good feeling about Nebraska football, and nobody wants to hear that. I don't want to be that person. I want to be Debbie Downer on Husker football. I want them to be in the championship game in Indianapolis. And looking at
is that where it's at, Doug? I didn't really pay much attention to where they – has it been there for a while?
We were there for 3 minutes one time against Wisconsin.
Yeah, one jet sweep.
I just don't – see it. I want to see it, and I want to believe it, and we'll get maybe that first drink of the Kool-Aid here, especially Friday when the Huskers are on the campus there in Chicago. But I hope so. I think there's too many holes that have nothing to do with how good the coaches are, whether it was Pelini or whether it was Riley. Like you'll find out tomorrow when we talk on the roundtable, you lose Amir Abdullah, Kenny Bell, and Randy Gregory. They were three of the best players in the conference, not just on the Huskers. You lose them all. Can't replace any of them. There is nobody on the roster that can fill in any of their shoes this year. It's not like, hey, we replace running back A with running back 1A. It ain't happening. Wide receiver A with it. Just you got some good wide receivers. The rest of those, anyway, that's my thought. Sorry.
No, I agree with two of the three. I'm glad Mr. Gregory is taking a legal paycheck now because I was deeply, deeply disappointed in the effort the young man put in last year. But he didn't get hurt, and I think that was goal number one.
Hope he's a successful Dallas Cowboy. We will take a break. We got a lot of business left to do. Bob Jensen is our co-host today. We'll get more into the top 10 as Huskerland Prep Report, the preseason magazine, is out today, and we'll be back to talk more about it in a moment.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
Hey, Nebraska, are you ready to save big on your next set of pickup or SUV tires? Then get to Big O Tires now. During our huge buy three tires, get the fourth free sale. You'll save 25% on Cooper Discover, Nitto Crosstech, and Mesa AP tires. Whether you drive a pickup, SUV, crossover, or van, there's no forms to fill out or rebates to wait for. Just an immediate savings of 25% when you buy three tires and get the fourth free only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Raxham Clays, August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
This is the time of year when having emergency lighting on hand in your home is a necessity. The Rayovac LED lantern has many features and is designed for home and rugged environments. The 4-watt LED bulbs are powered by 3D batteries for up to 40 hours of continuous use on high mode and up to 90 hours on energy saver mode. Hardware Hank and Rayovac have what you need to keep the light shining bright.
You've got a lot more going for you with Hank Hardware.
Dear Mike, sorry our relationship ended. I enjoyed our stops at Foot Convenience Plaza for beer, wine, snacks, and soda. Their delicious pizza, made fresh each day, was our favorite pizza in town. Foot's will always remind me of you. Well, I'm running out of lipstick and space on your windshield. P.S. They have washer fluid at Foot's.
Foot's Convenience Plaza, the first stop coming into town and your last stop out. East Highway 30, Kearney.
Daddy Show, our Midtown Mart Cooler Question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you if the Royals made the right move in acquiring Johnny Cueto from the Reds. 73% of you are Royals fans, and you said yes. 27% of you like another team, and you said no. Boston dropping out of the United States bid for the Olympics. Which U.S. city should make a bid for the 2024 Olympics? Now, I have never been to Olympic Games. Ones that have been in the United States, friends and family and other folks, acquaintances, media folks have been. They love it. They think it's awesome. It's a great experience. When they're in Salt Lake City, there are people that don't go to sporting events that went and said this was awesome. So I'm a big fan there. Which city should make a bid for them? Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., or Omaha? Well, Omaha couldn't. No, Omaha's got a lot of cool things. I wouldn't even want it in Nebraska.
Omaha didn't even get the Nebraska State Games, okay?
They pull off all the other things that go along with it, so kudos to them. I just remember the, what was it, 84 Olympics in Los Angeles? So cool. Very expensive. San Francisco would probably be a better place for it. Washington, D.C., I don't know if D.C. could pull it off. Atlanta, that was awesome. Someplace in Texas, it would be very, very hot. I'm sure that's part of the intrigue. Boston would have been probably pretty awesome.
Boston would have been awesome. In Texas, I don't know if they would let anybody that wasn't from Texas in, but they could have it probably.
I'll go with San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco got that international feel. It's probably as international a city as we have in the United States. That might be fun.
Vote now. Where would you like to see the Olympics? If the United States has one city to put in for the 2024 bids, which one would you vote for? Omaha, L.A., San Francisco, Washington, D.C., our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's look at the top 10. Here with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep. We were talking a lot in the breaks, and I should have asked you off air, but have you ever, because when you put the top 10 together, you're using the information provided by the coaches and your own eye, and not specifically this year, but have there been a time or two where you put a team in there and said, I don't see it, but the coaches tell me that, so this is where they are?
No, not really. Ultimately, I guess my name's on, so it is me. Now you value what coaches have to say, and you value, you know, this, that, and the other. But frankly, coaches don't have as much information in front of them. You know, they know the name. They know that any team that has Humphrey St. Francis across the top of the sheet, it must be good. Although I can't tell you why. And that doesn't really affect the top three or four, because, I mean, there's a general consensus top three or four. You get down to the bottom, it's fun to roll the dice once in a while. I mean, you know, I don't – one of the more humble – there's a lot of things that humble me, Doug, but one of the more humbling events of the year will be when the magazine comes out and you're holding it in your hand, and right below this year's top 10 is last year's top 10, and right next to it is what the actual final top 10 looked like. And you know, we still print it, and I'm still embarrassed a lot.
Well, we mentioned Class A earlier in the show.
Kind of makes you not even want to talk about this, doesn't it?
Millard North, Omaha North, 1-2, Grand Island 9. You mentioned St. Francis, so let's go to D2. You've got him number one, Anselmo Myrna, who was right there, probably.
They were good enough to win. They got beat by as good a D2 champion as we've seen in a while.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
Exeter and Milligan was legitimately good, and so was Anselmo Myrna. I think there's a whole lot of people that underestimated them. But D2 this year, Douglas, I am going to sound like a coach, but it's true. It's wide open. I mean, literally, there's not much difference between the top five, six, seven teams, except maybe tradition and coaching, which are pretty crucial. But a team that fascinates me, is not very far away from here in real time. Sandhills Thedford made some noise last year, kind of threw up all over itself on a cold, snowy quarterfinal day against Myrna. But that'll be interesting to keep an eye on.
St. Francis 1, Myrna 2, Kennesaw 3, Fall City Sacred Heart 4. They had an outstanding state playoff game last year. Then you've got Sandhills 5, Giltner 6, Randolph, Exeter Milligan, the defending champ, 8, Garden County, and Osceola comes in at number 10. In D1, another one, I mean, I look at it in the small schools, Guardian Angels, Aquinas, you've got the Catholic school, the parochial school at the number one, Bruning, Davenport, Shickley, 2, Elm Creek, Blue Hill, Hemingford, Amherst, 3-6. We had a lot of fun with those teams last year. What sets Guardian Angels apart?
Tanner Haas. Tanner Haas is 295 pounds. He's a hoss. I mean, not just in the physical sense, but in the familial sense. They produce nothing but outstanding running backs. This is the most recent one. He's large. He missed most of last year due to an injury. He is 100% healthy. They've got their quarterback. They've got another Ortmeier playing tight end and defensive end. And really, the number one difference, you know, one thing that most of the top contenders lack is a proven quarterback. And I guess tie goes to runner. We go with GAC, but BDS, they got this Dixon family that moved in from Sandy Creek. Kendall's going to be an outstanding player for them. You got Elm Creek. You know, if Nate Bartling was in this room, I would pick Elm Creek because he's large and he could hurt me bad. But, you know, he's just part of the puzzle. They get a quarterback. They could win state. Blue Hill, that Colin Brown, probably the most dominant offensive lineman in eight-man football. There's a lot of really good teams. As lacking in depth, quality depth, as D2 might be this year, and that could, you know, that could be completely wrong. That's happened three other times that I can think of. D1 is stacked.
Today?
Oh. D1 is stacked. That's just since 1140. So, but they're D1 stacked.
And there's nobody new knocking on the top 5, 6, maybe much of the top 10 in C2. There's a couple maybe there at the bottom, but you've got Aquinas 1, Hastings St. Cecilia 2, Sutton 3, Battle Creek 4, North Platte St. Pat's 5, Donovan Trumbull 6. You pick up the quarterfinals of the state playoffs the last 5 years. Those guys all are there.
Same old deal. But, boy, I just think about some of the great teams that Ron Mimix had at Aquinas, and it's kind of hard to say this. I don't know if they would beat some of those championship teams from 90, from the 90s. But when you consider the class they're in, because they played in C1, when you consider the level of competition, blah, 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 this might be the best team he's ever had. They got to replace a quarterback who was, you know, that Trey Samrod was a, you know, his intrinsic value far exceeded his numeric value. but they will replace him. They've got great linemen coming back. They've got one of our cover boys, Mitch White, at linebacker, best linebacker in Class C, all of Class C. And they're good. A team that people might want to look for that's not from this area, UTAN. UTAN won 6 last year and had a 10-point lead over Bergen the next last game of the season. They win that. They're in. They did not. They weren't. And, of course, you go back to the top, and you got St. Cecilia and Sutton. And, you know, they will field varsity football teams this year, from what I understand. Garrett Clark was as good an offensive lineman as I saw in Class C last year.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, is going to stay with us for a few more minutes here. We will look at the top 10 and be in C1 and wrap up the Doug and Daddy show after this.
You've taught your son everything, from fishing to hunting, baseball to football. You're the man. He looks up to you to teach him all the great things in life.
But have you taught him that real men don't abuse women?
This is one of the most important talks a man can ever have with his son.
Teach, talk, listen, lead.
To learn more about how to start this conversation, log on to sassacenter.org for resources. This message supported by funds awarded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport, done right.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport. Equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment. With locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
Golfers, mark your calendar for August 1st and 2nd and play in the annual Miller Coors 3-Person Golf Scramble at the beautiful Kearney Country Club. Not only does your entry fee include golf, cart, and steak dinner, but a Calcutta, prizes, and 4 complimentary Miller or Coors products. A practice round on Friday, a shootout Friday night, and golf Saturday and Sunday. Call the Kearney Country Club at 237-2553 and sign up for the annual Miller Coors 3-Person Golf Scramble August 1st and 2nd.
Headbutting our way through the paint. ESPN Superstation. KICS Hastings. KXPN Kearney.
Doug and Daddy's show. Headed to the home stretch of our Tuesday program. Again tomorrow, our Husker Roundtable, Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock, about a half hour worth of Big Red talk. And you can talk about it over your favorite meal at the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. No one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop with their great flame-broiled buffalo wings seared over the open flame with your favorite sauce, and get them bone in, bone out. Of course, tonight, wings special as well. If you're looking for a little evening meal, they've got appetizer specials from 2 to 5:30 in the afternoon, and a great lunch salad today, a dollar off any salad on the menu at the Chicken Coop. Slide on in, play some Keno, watch your favorite sporting events, or if you just want to go to happy hour, they're there for you as well. Open 7 days a week, the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill.
So they still have beer, don't they?
Last I checked.
Okay, well, you're all about quality control. That's what separates this show from the other crap that's on this station. Good for you. You're out there among the people making sure that what you read is true.
I'm like Paul Harvey. We don't talk about it if it don't work right. I ain't endorsing anything that ain't any good, brother.
That's right.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. The high school preview magazine is out, and we've been looking at some of the top tens. We've talked about everything but B and C1. B, it's It's the Elkhorn South, Omaha Scut, and it won't be long until Elkhorn has more schools, and maybe that will do to them what it's done to the Lincoln schools that you talked about earlier, but I don't think so. You've got Aurora in at number 7. McCook is number 6. York and Coach Snodgrass is number 3 from the boundaries of our listening area. I admit it, for Class B schools around here, we don't see them as much as all of the other schools, but there is some changings of the guards locally, and still some of the same names in there with McCook and Aurora representing the West.
Yeah, Kyle Peterson, one of the really good guys in coaching of any kind in any sport. It's the new head coach at Aurora. You know, it's kind of funny. We were talking about Aurora the other day, and if you ask the man on the street what their record was last year, the Huskies were 5-5. You wouldn't have known that because you don't expect that. They got to replace Jake Kittle. That is a huge, huge hole to fill. But they've got a nice line coming back. The Rush kid is committed to Wyoming. There's a kid named Dalton Peters who had a huge summer camp at Nebraska. They're going to be Aurora for the most part. This isn't vintage Aurora, but they'll be good. McCook lost. McCook, it was like the day after the Little Bighorn. They still had some guys. It's just not the same guys. But they'll be good because Coach Gross and his staff are really good, and they'll be good again. Not vintage, but man, they lost some good people. Now, as far as York goes, York could very easily win Class B. Very easily win Class B. We got Elkhorn South on top. This is the Elkhorn South's last go around, most likely in Class B. I'm almost positive they're going to be A next time. They've got pieces, and they have got the most explosive running back in the state of Nebraska, a kid named Moses Bryant, the lyrically named Moses Bryant, who, dare I say it, walked on water last year as a freshman, making Class B All-State. And so we'll see. Scott's a proven winner. They're second, but, you know, they could very easily win it, too.
We're getting folks ready for our extra-long shows from Chicago on a Thursday and Friday.
I feel partially responsible.
Oh, no. This is great.
Completely responsible?
I don't think there's another guest that is brought on as you are that as many people say, we could listen to Bob all day long. Now, we're not going to keep you here all day long.
No, no.
I have to get you lunch. But Hastings, Adams Central, Northwest. Adams Central has taken a step back here the last couple of years. But I know they still have some pieces over there. Hastings and Northwest continually trying to get over the hump. Northwest made a blip there on the radar recently. Just your thoughts on those, because they're all the Class B teams here in our Tri-City.
Well, okay, that step back that Adams Central made last year, true enough. They're going to make a step forward this year. Kyler Warmstadt, tough little dude at running back. You know, you got the same coach for, what, 100, 115 years when Bill Carlin was there? I don't know. He was old. I think he had Abe Lincoln on his first team, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe it takes a year.
Spalding was actually playing 11-man back then.
that could be. Well, anyway, the point is that second year in the system means a lot. Having important players back means more. Adams Central will be improved. Northwest just needs to get out of its way. I mean, I think they won 3 last year. They could have easily won 6 last year. They have a big-time quarterback in Christian Ellsworth. They have the Brown kid at receiver who could also play quarterback is going to be a big play type of guy. They've got some promising people in the line. They need to win 6 games this year. They need to win 6. They're good enough to win 6 games. They have the athletes to win 6 games. Kevin Stein, one of my favorite people. Okay, Charlie Shoemaker changes horses in midstream, goes to Hastings High, and that's Hastings High. It's been a while. They've been away from the trough for a while. Charlie's a winner. Charlie's small, but Charlie's a winner. Okay, he has won everywhere he's gone, and he's going to win at Hastings. I don't have any doubt about it. I don't think it'll be this year. The last I heard, and I was not on the phone with anybody this morning, but there was talk that Morgan Karloff would not play football, let his knee heal up, and stick to basketball. That wouldn't help, but because Morgan Karloff's one of the best receiver in Class B, he's right there. He's that kind of athlete. But having Coach Shoemaker there, and he got hired the 1st of June. So, I mean, I don't know if you could even call it his program just quite yet. It won't happen maybe this year. Never say never. But it will happen at Hastings.
And the last class that we haven't looked at is C1. Ashland Greenwood, you have put it number one. Then Norfolk Catholic, Columbus SCOTUS, the champs from Boone Central, Newman Grove, and Bishop Newman. So, again, some round-robin play up in the northeastern part of the state. Kearney Catholic has been placed sixth. Then Pierce, Central City, your hometown.
Well, be careful there.
Your current hometown.
That's where my home is at.
Setting in eighth, then Wahoo and Holdridge, who had moved up to C1 here the last couple of years. So thoughts on C1?
The C1 rankings brought to you by Tim Manline. Tim, I missed you at the bank, dude. You should have heard what we said. Les, you should never use that kind of language in a public setting. That's all I can tell you. Tim, get your resume dusted off. Bottom line.
He's ready to retire.
No, well, there's a difference, Doug, as you know, between retiring and quitting. And I'll just leave it at that. No, you're right. It's a lot of the same old thing. Who do I think the best team in Class C1 is? It's Norfolk Catholic. I put Ashland Greenwood first because they've got pounded by two of the best C1 teams we've had in the last 20 years in the last two finals. They've got the best player in C1, that Ben Stilley, that's going to Nebraska on scholarship, and he's only marginally better than the kid that plays next to him at defensive tackle, that Brett Kittrell. They've got a running back that's run for 1,000 yards both of his first two seasons. They've got a billion kids out for football. They believe. They are wide-eyed and believing in Ashland. We'll see. Norfolk Catholic, Aiden Burrows. I believe as I tweeted out, and if you don't follow me, at Huskerland Bob, there's my shameless plug for the day.
Beautiful.
That was well done. Aiden Burrows, growing faster than the national debt. He has gone from being a typical high school football player size to an enormous young man, somewhere around 6'4", 290. He's getting, you know, there's talk of him going D1. He's in the line. They've got a lot of athletes. They've just got a lot of athletes. Their point guard is going to become their new starting quarterback. And the kid's a winner. The kid will be great. They've got people in the line. Jeff Beller has won everything. He's won everything many times over. If I'm 57 and he's 2 years younger than me, that makes him 55. He's got a lot of gas left in the tank. He's already won like 320 games in his career, and he's going to win
a few more.
They'll be better than average.
And six man is a little bit, it's in that 16 team range here the last handful of years, but it may continue to grow. And with Silver Lake and Wilcox Hildreth in the mix, you've got them in the upper half, but you've got the two teams that were in the finals last year at the top of your six-man.
Six-man. I'm just so glad that we got some teams playing six-man. There is a certain independent spirit to six-man because virtually all of these schools should not be playing six-man. But by golly, they're going to play football by themselves, and the only way to do it is to play six-man. So good for them. And if that's what it takes, good for them. People who have never gone to a six-man game, it is a very liberating experience. It's kind of like going to the family picnic. You throw a blanket on the ground, watch them throw it around, because nobody can tackle at the family picnic either. You know what I mean? So there'll be like, 120 points in the game every time. But we did do among our feature stories, Tristan Farley from Wilcox Hildreth, and that boy is, he's tall. He's tall. He's tall. His arms. He's just got the wingspan of like a jet airliner. So there you have it.
Some of the other features in the preview magazine include Braden Eckout and Trey Tobenheim of Amherst. Also, Grand Island Northwest and Christian Ellsworth. We've talked about him before here on the Doug and Daddy Show. There's features on players from every class from all around the state. We talked about the top 10, the preseason all-state teams, some of the top players coming into the state, even the top 30 games, which is always an interesting feature because the top 30 games that Bob lists before summer starts, when he sends this in, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are game day worthy of ESPN that they're going to shake the world, but either they've all got their own special little something.
In our time together, Magic Bob Carter taught me a valuable lesson, and that was, don't look at the numbers. Live life on the edge. That's what he told me. I don't know. I can't remember the rest of it, but that was some of it I remember. The point is that our number one game of the year is Sidney and Gehring. And that might not mean a lot to anybody, but I'll make this as short as possible. The head coach at Sidney had quit at Sidney High School and had taken a job at UNK to become an assistant coach for Daryl Morris, who doesn't work at UNK anymore, and neither did Todd. All right, so we've got Todd Eckert is out of a job, and he's looking around, and, well, Gehring saw to it there was an opening. And they hired him. And now, as fate would have it, on the last night of the regular season, Todd Eckert and the Gehring Bulldogs go to Sidney to play the Sidney Red Raiders in what will no doubt be the game of the year, Doug, is what it's going to be. And it's kind of ironic because I was out there, too, and I've got to know Todd quite well over these last few years. We're in the weight room, and I'm interviewing two of what are now his former players. We're chatting it up, Tyler Wendholz and Jake Heron. And I said, well, you know, coach isn't around. What do you think about playing against him? And Tyler, I think, has got political possibilities. Okay, he didn't have much to say. He said something about the color green, if I remember. Jake said, it will be fun. And he said it in a way where it will not be fun for somebody. And I got a feeling who it's not going to be fun for is Coach Eckert. So Sidney's really good. Gehring is, they were winless last year, and they weren't really close to winning a game. So we'll see how that goes.
Work to do. Some of the games that Bob has in the top 30, Sutton, St. Cecilia, Amherst, Burwell, Central City, Kearney Catholic, Donovan Trumbull, North Platte, St. Pat's, which is the leadoff game of the year, Perkins County and Elm Creek on there as well. So there's some good ones. Bridgeport coming out to Gibbon. There's some good ones on the list.
I will say this, it's true. I live in Central City, so let's discount that for a moment. I believe what I wrote in there was Central City's coming off a year where they were 6-3, finished 6-4, made the playoffs in a 16-team bracket. Very, very good year. Have a kid by the name of Mitch Carlson coming back. He threw for almost 2,500 yards last year, set a C1 record. Got a wide receiver by the name of Brady Bamesberger, who was an all-stater, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. They didn't beat a team with a winning record last year. They played good football and were competitive against good teams for the most part, not SCOTUS, not Ashland, but that happens. If they want to become big boy football, and if they want to become a legitimate number eight, they'll get a chance. First, they got to play Ord. Your Chanticleers, a new head coach, Nate Wells, is up there, got everybody back. A kid by the name of Cade Swoboda. I love that boy. 4-year starter. He's an all-stater in my book. And I'm literally in my book. He's an all-stater. They got to get by that. But if they do, they will have a chance to play Kearney Catholic early in their district season. And Kearney Catholic's a gold standard team. If you find a way to beat Kearney Catholic, you've reached the top echelon in the class.
Again, Bob, how can they get the magazine? How can they sign up for the year?
Well, they could drive down to our office. We always love visitors. You know, we're at 802 C Avenue in Central City. That would be awesome. But if you don't want to do that, and there are many days I don't want to do that, you could call us toll-free at 800-323-3929. And like I say, if you have any interest in Huskerland, the magazine, or what we do in print during the year, please do it soon, because we don't want to charge people a shipping fee, which we have to when we mail the magazine after the fact. And we have the magazine in-house, and we're holding it for a couple days, hoping to get some stragglers.
So we can have it on the Doug and Daddy Show. Are there outlets where they can also find just the
Yeah, we'll have it. We'll have it top of the hill north of Kearney there at the Hastings Bookstore, and also in Grand Island at the Hastings Bookstore. But again, that won't happen until after we've mailed to our faithful subscribers.
All right, folks, a couple other things. We want to get to John's email here. We were talking Iowa. He goes, quick question, if college football is a win at all costs, I would have to say what Iowa pays Coach Ferentz, and that translates to win. That's a huge cost per win. I say that they work it out on what the coach gets paid and break it down to wins. Can they not afford a buyout of his contract? We all know that a school like that wouldn't pay a coach for just the few wins. Your take. That's been the bugaboo about Coach Ferentz every time he's on the hot seat. That's what we talked about. Something good happens.
Doug, I am only speaking for myself. The last thing I want in the world is performance-based pay. I can barely make rent as it is. Okay. As far as Coach Ferentz, he has dodged more trouble than the little frog on Frogger. I mean, he's still got a job after all these years, and he's got rich doing it. He seems like a likable man. As long as he takes care of my boy Budgeta and my boy Ott, you know, my boy Fisher, you know, they can have him.
Yeah. I can root for him. I can root for those boys, those guys,
right
those
on,
players.
Right on.
And I also root for T&L Irrigation to take care of your crops throughout the year. T&L has everything that you need to make sure the irrigation part of your year goes correctly. T&L has the PPE3. They've got the GPS navigation corner system that will make sure that your T&L pivot system works like no other. And you can find out more from your local dealers like Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney or Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island. Or you can go online. You're sitting at home or you're sitting in the office. Okay, I've heard Doug blout about this long enough. I'm checking it out. TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com.
You are so good at that. That was a neat little transition, how you took what I said and turned it into an ad. That was good. You're a professional.
That's how they... That's why they give me that cash out there. I have not seen it on the Saints website, and by cash I mean the $1.47 a week. But via Twitter, and Buck put this out there, Cole Manhart is going to the Saints, the New Orleans Saints, after being released by the Eagles earlier this summer. So it looks like Manhart going to the Saints. Royals win last night. They'll play tonight, 6:10 on the Breeze. 94.5 as far as the state tournaments go. Grand Island Home Federal fell 4-3 yesterday. They'll play an elimination game at Duncan Field in Hastings today against Millard South at 4, then Papio South. The undefeated team will play Pius at 7. In the juniors tournament, Grand Island 5 points is the undefeated team. They beat Millard North 12-8, so they will play Millard South at 7 o'clock tonight. No matter what, they will be in the finals tomorrow. The area tournaments, it's Aurora needing to win twice against Beatrice tonight in the B4 at Crete. Wakefield needs to beat Albion on the Wakefield field tonight in the B5 seniors twice. B6 seniors, McCook's the undefeated team. They'll play Broken Bow in McCook at 5:30. Class C in Silver Creek. Geneva will take on Bruning Davenport Shickley. BDS is the undefeated team. And then you've got three teams left, excuse me, in the C6 at St. Paul. David City and DCB, they'll play at 5. The winner gets Shelton Gibbon following that. And Alma will be hosting Imperial. Alma, the undefeated team in that tournament.
You know what I could live with? I could live with every high school baseball, every baseball game maybe, period, played at Duncan Field. I mean, I happen to live in a town where we have a gorgeous baseball field. Wakefield has a gorgeous baseball field with the planters down the foul lines and the whole deal. You know, there's something about Duncan Field, man. You think about the history back in the old, whatever that was called, the Nebraska minor league that we had here, and I don't know. It's a lousy place slash great place. It's a lousy place to play a football game. It's a great place just to be around a football game because I love that setting, the mud and the lack of lighting and all the people standing right behind me and all that. But
great. Here come the calls and emails from Saints.
Here it comes. No, I love being down there. I do. But that Duncan Field for baseball, man, that's big league. And there aren't very many things that have that kind of history in our state.
And I love Big Deli's Deli right across the street, so I can go get a sandwich. It's great times. Yeah. And Duncan Field is the place to be again today for two more games. Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Report. Can we make the verbal contract right now? You'll join us again this season?
Yeah. Do we have 3 hours like this time?
Again, folks, go to Husker Land Preps online and find out everything you need to know, all the information to order the preview magazine and subscribe for the year. It's only like $32 for the magazine and the weekly update, the weekly paper throughout the football season. It's well worth it if you have any interest in high school football. We thank Bob for being with us today. Also to Tom Cakert of Hawkeye Report to talk about Iowa football. We're in Chicago Thursday and Friday, and tomorrow it's our Big Red Roundtable. Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, and Steve Sipple. Once again, Bob, thanks for the time, buddy.
Yeah, it's always great to be here, dude. Thanks a lot.
We'll see everyone else tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.